Welcome to Executive Performance Brief. I'm Michael Padua, and today I want to talk about something that high performers are often surprisingly bad at, recovery. Because for most successful people, the default solution to a problem is simple. Do more, work harder, train harder, push through, sleep a little less, make up for it tomorrow. That mindset can help build a career, but physiology doesn't always reward it. After 40, one of the most important questions you can ask is not, how hard can I train? It's this, how much productive stress can I apply and still recover well enough to adapt? That is the recovery problem. And it may be one of the most overlooked pieces of long-term performance. In Executive Performance Brief Number 1, I introduced the Executive Performance Pyramid. In Brief Number 2, we focused on building the aerobic engine. In Brief Number 3, we talked about strength as your physical retirement account. But both of those depend on something happening after the workout. Your body has to recover, because training itself does not make you stronger or fitter. Training creates a stimulus. Then comes fatigue, then recovery. And if the process works correctly, adaptation follows. Think of it like this. Training, fatigue, recovery, adaptation. Then you repeat the process. That's how you become stronger. That's how VO2 max improves. That's how muscle is preserved. That's how work capacity expands. But there is another cycle. Training, fatigue, poor recovery, more training, more fatigue, and eventually performance starts moving in the wrong direction. That distinction becomes especially important for the executive over 40 because the gym is not the only place your body experiences stress. Your calendar may separate your life into categories. A 6 a.m. workout, a 9 a.m. meeting, a presentation at noon, a flight that evening, a business dinner, then 5 hours of sleep. But your body doesn't see 6 separate appointments. It sees a total stress load. The workout matters, but so does the poor sleep. The psychological stress, travel, alcohol, inconsistent meals, illness, and the accumulation of high-intensity training. This is what I think of as your executive stress budget. Imagine your normal week includes 3 strength sessions, 2 aerobic workouts, and 1 interval session. Normally, you handle that beautifully. You're sleeping 7 or 8 hours. Work is manageable. Nutrition is good. You're home. Performance is improving. Now take that exact same program and put it into a week where you've slept 5 hours a night, flown twice, skipped meals, had 3 business dinners, and dealt with a major deadline. The training plan didn't change, but the person performing it did. That is where coaching becomes much more than simply writing workouts. And this is also why sleep matters so much. Sleep is often the first recovery tool executives sacrifice. The workout stays. The meeting stays. The flight stays. The deadline stays. Sleep gets whatever time is left. But research makes it very difficult to dismiss the consequences. A 2022 systematic review and meta-analysis by Craven and colleagues examined 69 studies and more than 200 physical performance outcomes. Sleep loss negatively affected performance across multiple categories, including strength, endurance, anaerobic power, high-intensity exercise, and skill. Another meta-analysis published by Lopez and colleagues in 2023 looked specifically at endurance performance. Sleep deprivation impaired endurance, with longer efforts appearing particularly vulnerable. So yes, you may still complete the workout after a bad night, but completing the workout and performing optimally are not the same thing. Sleep also appears to matter to the muscle you're trying to preserve. In 2020, Sainer and colleagues restricted healthy men to 4 hours in bed per night for 5 nights. The sleep-restricted group showed lower rates of myofibrillar protein synthesis compared with those getting normal sleep. Now, that study was conducted in young men, so we should not pretend the exact result applies identically to every 50-year-old executive. But the principle is important. You cannot completely separate training from the recovery environment surrounding it. If you want to preserve muscle after 40, sleep belongs in the conversation alongside resistance training, protein, and progressive overload. There's another important lesson here. More fatigue does not automatically mean more adaptation. A 2016 study by Pareja Blanco and colleagues compared resistance training taken to muscular failure with training stopped earlier. The group training to failure experienced greater neuromuscular fatigue, greater declines in movement velocity, more muscle damage, and slower recovery. That doesn't mean you should never train hard. It means the hardest possible training dose is not always the smartest training dose. And this is a lesson I've learned repeatedly after more than 20 years of coaching. Earlier in my career, I spent a lot of time thinking about how to make workouts harder. Add weight, add sets, shorten the rest, finish with intervals, make people sweat more. After 2 decades of coaching, I spend much more time asking, does harder actually serve the goal today? Anyone can make someone tired. That isn't sophisticated programming. Coaching means creating the right stimulus for the person standing in front of you. Some days that means training hard. Other days that means reducing volume, changing exercise selection, performing aerobic work, focusing on movement quality, or occasionally recognizing that recovery itself is the best decision. That is not weakness. That is load management. And this is where wearable technology can be useful. One metric that receives a lot of attention is heart rate variability, or HRV. HRV measures variation in time between successive heartbeats and reflects aspects of autonomic nervous system regulation. But it is often misunderstood. Higher is not always automatically better. Your number should be interpreted relative to your own baseline. And one low reading should not control your entire day. In a 2021 meta-analysis, Manresa Rocamora and colleagues found that HRV-guided training appeared useful for improving vagally mediated HRV, although differences in aerobic fitness and endurance performance were relatively small. A separate 2021 review by Duking and colleagues found that HRV-guided endurance training produced favorable results in some physiological measures and may help reduce non-responders. But again, differences in VO2 peak and performance were modest. That's important. HRV is useful, but it is not magic. Your wearable should provide information. It should not become your boss. I prefer looking at what I call the executive recovery dashboard. Look at your sleep, not just last night, but the trend over several nights. Look at resting heart rate. Is it consistently higher than normal? Look at HRV, again, relative to your personal baseline. Then ask how you actually feel. Energy, stress, muscle soreness, and finally look at performance. Are weights that normally feel manageable suddenly unusually difficult? Is your normal aerobic pace producing much higher effort? Are several sessions trending downward? No single number decides the workout. Look for clusters. One poor night of sleep may mean very little, but 4 poor nights, elevated resting heart rate, suppressed HRV, persistent soreness, low energy, and declining performance. Now the picture is different, and I want to make one point extremely clear. Being over 40 does not mean you should train less simply because of your age. A 2021 review by Figueiredo and colleagues examined recovery from resistance exercise in younger and older adults and found that the evidence is mixed. Older adults do not automatically recover poorly from every workout. So the message is not, you're 45, take it easy. The message is, train intelligently. Train hard when hard makes sense. Go easier when easier serves the objective. Recover when recovery is needed, and prioritize consistency over years instead of intensity for a few weeks. Here is your challenge. For the next 5 mornings, take 2 minutes and record how long you slept, your sleep quality, your resting heart rate, your HRV, if you track it, your energy, your stress, your soreness, and whether training performance feels normal, better, or worse. Then look for patterns. What happens after alcohol, after travel, after your hardest training session, after 5 hours of sleep, after 8? Does your wearable match how you feel? That information starts becoming your own performance data set. And this week, stop asking, how hard can I train today? Ask instead, what training dose gives my body the best opportunity to improve today? That is the shift. Brief number 2 was about building your aerobic engine. Brief number three was about building strength reserve. Brief number four is about protecting the process that allows both of those to improve. Because sustainable high performance is not built by constantly asking how much more you can withstand. It is built by applying the right stress at the right time, followed by enough recovery to become better because of it. I'm Michael J. Padua Jr. Thank you for listening to Executive Performance, Brief Number 4. Train hard enough to create adaptation. Recover well enough to express it, and keep doing that for years.